It's looking a bit shady.
It's just
zoomed. Oh, hold on. Okay. Is that it?
No, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, this is your boy MZ.
And your boy Vumi.
And this here is the Much Chat Podcast.
What's up? We're back at it.
Yeah, back at it. I've actually missed it. I'm not going to lie. I've missed it a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a week, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's been like 2 weeks because we posted the other week one late a bit.
Late, yeah, yeah. Because we had the RTD 2018.
Yeah, RTD 2018.
That happened.
Boy, do we have a lot to say about that.
We have a lot.
Yeah, okay, maybe I might have... maybe that's an overstatement.
Yeah, I mean...
But, okay, now I have some things to say.
Okay.
I have some stuff to say. So, you know, in general...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me do this. I'll give Daisy's as an experience, I'll give it a good 7. Now, the reason why I give it a 7 is because, okay, if it was not for the artists, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And the general banter, it would I would give Daisy's a good 2.
2?
Yeah.
Oh, why? 2 though?
Yeah.
It's a bit much.
Here's why. I just found all the changes to be a bit of a hack. Even my attitude towards Daisy's in the beginning, not in the beginning, well, just leading up to Daisy's,
yeah,
was already shot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like my attitude towards it, and because that's not how one's attitude towards a festival should be before you even get there.
Yeah,
I mean, we're very hopeful that once we get there, of course, sauce will be flowing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll have a good time, which we did.
Yeah,
but like, it still was in the back of my mind that these guys actually screwed up. I just feel like they, what would actually make me happy is if they were like, you know what, guys, we fucked up, and you know, we understand we did, sorry for that, but we'll do better next time. And the thing is, that's all. I don't need them to come and say no, we're gonna give you free stuff, or we reverting back to what it was. To say, just look guys, the way we went about it this year,
it changes
character specifically in September leading up to October, we done messed up. All right, yeah. But then that's the way it is. But yeah, apologies you probably won't get, but which is fine.
They've made their money. They're right now.
Yeah. But in any case, like obviously the crawl vibes, that was dope as always.
Yeah.
Banter always good, and we there was a slight change in the fact that the alcohol type of. Situation that we didn't have alcohol from ourselves, from our cooler bag.
Yeah,
we had to go collect them, and they said that those issues about waiting in line and stuff at the bars won't happen. It did happen.
Yeah, the good thing for me, from my experience, was that it didn't happen during the afternoon at the campsite bars. Like,
At least I
didn't. Some people said they waited quite a bit.
Yeah, but we were in priority, so maybe it might have been a different situation.
Yeah, it might have. Yeah, so our bar was quite efficient during the day.
In all honesty, like those prices were got cheap, dog.
Yeah, no, the prices they had to be.
Let's be honest, like they were really, really cheap.
And they had to be damn cheap, actually.
Yeah,
because they were gonna lose so many people if the tickets were not cheap. Or people were gonna smuggle, but people did smuggle. And also, this whole no plastic, using cans thing was total bullshit.
Yeah, it was disingenuous, right? Disingenuous, disingenuous. It was all of those.
All those ingenuous.
It was all of them, bruh.
No, because the thing is, first of all, they didn't stock enough cans because they thought at a festival where people come and get lit, that people would be responsible enough to use 1 or 2 cans per day. No, of course people crush cans and chuck them. They don't keep them. Like, it's a subconscious thing. Yeah. So obviously people were chucking those admittedly, as cool as they were.
No, I don't think they were that cool though. What was cool
about
them?
They were okay. Like, it was clever.
It was cool because it just looked like a black can, which you never see.
Yeah, they backed themselves. No, it was clever in the idea of it, right? but it was stupid in the execution. Yeah, it didn't make sense. And
also, like, it was like, the literally, they would just like open the can, right? It didn't feel like that thing was very safe. I don't think any.
Well, it wasn't that sharp. I was also worried about that, but it wasn't. It was fine. Like, it was drinking out of a can without a lid. And the thing is, like people found their ways around it. Obviously, people brought in alcohol. People were buying.
Oh, absolutely.
Buying beers in bulk or whatever.
And people had smell of guaranas.
Yeah, and I mean, it was like
it was lit
at some point, and then they ran out of cans, and then here come the plastic cups. That's what pissed me off. I'm like, that now.
Is that why the plastic cups came out?
Yeah, because they ran out of cans. Because they assumed, actually, they didn't even assume that. They knew they were going to run out of cans, and they stocked plastic cups spewing us all that bullshit.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think just my bad is goes a long way, you know? Just my bad.
They're never going to do that.
Yeah, I know, but it really goes a long way.
They have to save face. They don't.
Just be like, hey, look, my bad.
But yeah, to the music.
I really did ask you.
Yeah, calm down.
I'm calm, but I really did ask you. In any case, the music, I remember on the first night, I got very lit. I couldn't see Magic Jordan, dog. I was hella upset.
I heard it.
But the thing is, I was getting up, but at that time I was like, no way, this is too much. And I could feel my. I was like, nah, I'm not gonna make it there.
Your legs are sticking out of it.
Not my legs, my head. I won't lie, man. It was hot. Yeah, it was tough, man. And I was just like, you know what? Never again. And then I tried not to replicate that. the night before, again next night, but I can't remember who were the big acts that were, but yeah, I mean, like the what you call it, Jägermeister,
Jägerhaus, the Meisterhaus.
That was very dope.
That was one of the best like side venues ever.
I enjoyed that. And also when I think it was on the Friday where. We literally at the Meisterhaus. What do you call it? The Meisterhaus.
Yeah, Meisterhaus.
At that thing, then we had those silent disco. Ooh. And I never thought that I'd enjoy the silent disco like
but
that.
You know those silent disco guys? It was a mobile unit. They were going from place to place.
Yeah, I realized.
And like
that,
they would end up at Meisterhaus like around like in the evening.
Yeah.
But like I saw them during lunchtime at the food area. And people just jamming in the middle there by the grass. No.
Yeah, even during the rugby, they were there as well.
Yes, during the rugby. Yeah.
But like, that stuff is dope. And I understand, I understand why people start to do that now, like for, you know, when they want to do parties in like public parks with many residential.
No, it's a good idea. It's quite a cool idea, actually.
And all you just get is people talking loudly, but you don't get like a whole lot of music. And
but it's
also a great idea.
It's also fucking weird if you just hear people.
People sound so weird because there's also different channels. Exactly. So like people are singing this, some people are grooving to that, and you're like, but it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. But the Meisterhaus in general. They had a brass band that came through. They were playing like popular hits from the mid 2000s. That was off the chain. That part.
Yeah.
Like they were playing T-Pain, like all this old stuff, and we were all just losing our minds at the Meisterhaus.
Yeah, that thing was crazy.
And their drinks
crazy.
Were like, you know, they were significant, man. Those cups were
like, I never thought that I would ever have drinks made out of Jaeger, dog.
Yeah.
I won't even lie. Even had like a young orange in there or something.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. That was dope, man. It wasn't a problem. And there was also not an orchestra, what am I saying? Like a drum line that came.
I wasn't there for that, but
I heard about it. And apparently
and then that
dope.
Guy, this guy, like I think I saw a YouTube video of him like months ago. This UK guy that makes electronic music with his throat, dog. The guy came through, did some crazy beats just with his throat.
That's crazy, like, bro.
What the
hell? I hope he had a lot of moisture for his throat, dog.
Yeah, look. He was in the Jägerhaus, bro. And Jäger shots were 10 rand. Where are you going to find that again?
That's what I'm saying, man. That's where, you see, you must give credit where credit is due.
No,
like,
give
the prices for liquor.
You know what? Was you insane. Know what I would have even given them credit for?
What would have you given them credit for,
like,
beloved?
If they were like, you can bring your own sauce, but we advise you not to because we got a super cheap bar. I would have been like, you know what I would have done in earnest? I would have probably skimped on the hard liquor and just bought beers or something.
Yeah.
For the or even if they just told us, look, just bring cans, bring whatever cans you want, but just please only cans.
And but like, please be advised that there would be bars and the liquor is cheap.
Cheap. If they had done that, then swell. Because we all know, like, who goes back to the campsite to get lit, fam? People just always, like, it's always chaos at the bars in the stage areas because people just would rather go to the bar. They don't want to leave the groove.
Yeah.
You know?
But. Yeah.
But yeah, and also the other good thing this year was the damn weather.
Oh.
This was, you know, because you know what?
Bam, in the evening, it was warm.
Yo,
the wind, I was like, what?
You know
what is happening here?
You know what got me interested in daisies, man? Because you remember my first like sort of festival-y thing in SA was Synergy 2015 after Masters. And it was like, it's December, right? So it's hot. And then obviously everyone there was recalling the banter from like 2015 daisies, 2014 daisies, how it was like warm.
Yeah.
But like every daisies I went to 2016, that was my first one, and 2017 it was fucking cold as hell.
2016 was the one where it was actually cold. Like I remember we were literally wearing longs at times.
Yeah.
On like the stage. That was the when the two zap stage was.
Yes.
That was popping.
Yeah, that two zap was lit.
I remember that, and there was it was cold then, like, and the evening just got colder.
Yeah, I remember you fought me when I was bringing my blanket. You were like, nah, why you bring that thing, man? I was like,
because I thought that, what did I have at the time? I just had the my sleeping bag.
Yeah,
and I thought that'd be all right. Ended up gripping that blanket too.
Oh, that daisies was so cold. Oh, my God. Know when you wake up shivering? Yo. And I passed out on the fucking camping chair outside. And,
dude, that's what you did to me one time when you locked me out of the tent, dog. That one year, dog. And I was so pissed.
How did I lock you out of the tent? Did we have a lock?
Yeah, I remember we had a lock and it was on a lanyard and you had taken it and you hadn't come back or something. I don't know, it was weird, but...
Oh, shit.
I remember it clearly.
This this day, I didn't get that lit this daisies, man. Like, I was drinking. It wasn't happening. I don't know why.
Yeah, I didn't get very lit either. But I got lit, but I just didn't get like heavily lit.
Like I think the first night, maybe. But then even then I went to bed at like 1 o'clock. And then I woke up, I was like, alright. And then
I definitely didn't get like any hangovers or things like this.
No.
That's probably a testament to the fact that we didn't get lit like
that. Yeah, that's the thing. Even Sunday I was fine, got into the car, had a whole functional Sunday.
I'm not gonna say go out and say that, but like,
function, but like, I mean, I was a human.
You weren't like a dead.
Yeah, I wasn't dead.
Yeah. Like you were dead, which is not dead.
I went home and slept.
Yeah, like you didn't sleep. You just slept, you know.
Nah, but I slept though.
You slept,
actually slept.
I went. But yeah, I mean, I was glad that I just took a couple of days off as well.
Oh yeah,
that.
Me too.
My goodness,
that Monday was brilliant.
Yeah, on the Monday went to the beach actually as well.
That Monday, I was just indoors, bro.
Yeah, well, that Monday was dope. Me and my lady went to the beach, fam. The water that day was hot as well. This the weather, like that weekend was really just amazing.
Apparently, Saturday is gonna be warm.
Is it?
Yeah. It's gonna be a good time. But Muramasa,
you finna go to the beach?
Might, yeah.
No, at Muramasa was on Friday night, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one I was thinking. That was dope as well.
For that me, was that was the best performance.
What?
Yeah. For me, that was the best performance.
He didn't really perform, though.
Huh?
No.
You were just lit.
No, but like, he didn't perform, like, as in, like, look, dude, he was doing his thing. Nah, actually, he did perform. What am I saying?
It went in.
Actually, what am I saying? He did perform. And he was like out there with instruments.
Yes, and he brought out two singers.
Yeah, well, I was lit. Okay, that's probably why I had to think about it again. But yeah, indeed.
No, Muramasa was the lit.
Yeah, Muramasa was lit, dog. And also, I really enjoyed Julian Gomez. That was the next day. Julian Gomez like had like some good like house vibe music mixed with electro.
I missed
Sango as well, dog. But actually, I'm not that depressed about it.
Miss Sango, Miss Magic Jordan. I missed Shane Eagle because you're stupid ass.
Because of me?
Yes, you were he's a 10, 30, 10. And then I was
I said 10:30 something.
And then I was there at 10:30 and there was nothing.
And there was nothing. Yeah, I was mistaken.
And I went to the mice.
And then I actually went and saw Shane Eagle that time as well. You were 11:30. I was like, because my lady was in the tent sleeping at that time. Because in fact, we were both in the tent. And then I was like, nah. I woke up. I woke up. I'm going to go see Shane Eagle. He must revive himself from my point of view. You know what I'm saying? And no, Shane, he did revive himself. Yeah, I enjoyed that performance. It was dope. Did a tribute to Mac Miller as well. Yeah. It was dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I saw a bit of Young and then, CBT.
So like he was on for like 30 minutes, I think, or an hour. Was it 30 minutes or an hour? I can't remember. I think probably an hour or something. And then literally like 30 minutes later was going to be Black. I was just like, nah, my lady can't be sleeping through this, dog. Because she was going to sleep through the whole thing. And I was like, nah. I went and I gripped. I was like, nah, we're coming.
Black was a lot, man.
Here's the thing about Black. Black, I really enjoyed Black, dog. But the reason why I enjoyed Black is because I enjoy his music. I don't necessarily feel like his performance live is anything to write about at home. Do you understand what I'm saying? His DJ was dope, actually. What's his name? DJ...
I can't remember, but yeah, he did open
shout
up.
Shout out to DJ, I can't remember.
He opened up very nicely, right?
Yeah, he did.
He played Sicko Mode. Yeah.
Good hype, you know? And what was funny was that I was like, because it was full. Mm. Like, people were packed. Like, people, he was like, I mean, he was the headline, right? Mm. Essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got there and then, you know, two, three songs. And then all of a sudden, you see a couple white people just walking away as if, like, they didn't expect this or something. As if they didn't know who Black was. I think there were some people who didn't know Black was, but they were like, they were really hyped because everyone was like talking about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then people started walking up, but like you could see like the core crowds and everyone was still bumping to it.
I was pretty lit at that time, actually.
I enjoyed it, man.
And it was too crowded, so I pulled out, I went to the bathroom, then I just did what I did for Mac Miller. I just went right to the back because it was a decline. So if you stand right at the back, you can actually see the fucking stage.
And another thing as well, dog, I'm actually glad that for that particular performance of Black, that I was with my lady. Because I don't think I would have enjoyed those tracks as much.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't think I would have enjoyed those tracks as much in the front left there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not that I wouldn't have, but I mean, I definitely would have. But I think it made it extra.
But we also played extra Nyana. Because we had a nice position before he came on. We were like, we had a nice view of the stage. And then we liked things and we decided to move in a bit further. Not knowing that there was a dip in the
but
ground.
That ground everywhere was like very
so like I couldn't see shit. That's why I was like, nah, I'm done here. That's why I went to the
I was like, we saw, we looked, because we were going to go to the front left as per normal. Yes. And we saw, we're like, I want like, we see no one.
Yeah.
Like, and we're like, all right, let's just find our own place.
No, there was so many people.
And yeah, there was a lot of people. But it was I enjoyed it, man. I really enjoyed it.
It's Black.
And who else did I see, dog? Who else did I enjoy? In fact, there wasn't a lot of people that I went out to see there.
Yeah, I just stumbled upon this.
Because the only people that I'm bummed I missed out was Magic Jordan, dog.
Missed out on Magic Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else. I saw a bit of Youngster CPT.
I heard him.
Then, yeah, like, you see, because there was... And the thing is that's what Amine. There we go.
Amine. Yeah, I didn't see him either.
Oh, you didn't see... You sure?
It was Friday, dog, remember? Oh, I didn't see, I was out. I didn't see
mean, it was alright, but it just reminded me that Goldlink wasn't there. Because for me, like, Goldlink was
I want, like, Goldlink would have shut it down. Because he was supposed to be on Friday as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have shut Friday down.
He would have shut Friday down.
But damn him for not arriving, man.
Damn him and these things. Anyway...
But that was Daisy's in the cashew shop. So, nice cashews on that. Oh my goodness!
And the food was okay as usual. Some food places I didn't
actually,
try.
I enjoyed the food.
Some places I didn't get to try. Like there was a night, there was a place with like pop and shit.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do it. I wouldn't want to have pop and stuff like that, dog. That stuff is heavy, man. For no reason.
Give you that afternoon load up. sourcing in the evening. But yeah, shawarma places as usual. Need, shout out to Need for their breakfast paninis.
Was it Need and also the next door of Need? I can't remember who it was.
Those breakfast paninis.
But those things, like that one on Sunday, was it Sunday? Sunday morning.
Saturday morning.
No, but on Sunday morning now, that thing revived me. I don't think I would have been able to.
Was it the guy who came with?
No. Because my girl went and got some.
Oh yes, you guys went. Yeah,
and then she got. But like that was, I was just like, nah. That thing. I wouldn't have, like, Vumi, it gave me strength to pack up that tent, up those things.
Same thing here.
Car.
Like, shout out to the guy who had the Mexican stand, the burrito place. Because he literally took a cooler bag, chucked in like a whole bunch of breakfast rolls.
And just walked around.
Like he's done that before. I think I've seen him in previous years as well.
What?
Yeah. Just walked. Yeah, even last year.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I really don't remember that. But word.
Guy
but,
came through, just gave him cash, even though it was a cashless thing.
No, and he then, accepted cards as well.
Oh, yes, yeah, he had the card machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Gripped the breakfast roll there, even had a Coke. Ate that thing, and packed up nicely. That guy, that is entrepreneurship right there, man. That guy had vision.
What lie? You came three in the car, you left it two, dog. How you leave a man behind?
Who did I leave behind?
What do you mean? Did you leave three men?
No.
In the car?
I came with Senzo.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah.
And X.
Yeah. And then you left with just yourself and Senzo.
No, X was with us. Well, was with us.
No,
he wasn't. Because X went, because he was staying at Daisyland. So he went to go pack. So then Senzo and
I won't lie, because when I said goodbye to you guys, I didn't see X. I was like, wait,
met him at the entrance.
You were gonna leave.
No, we had chatted. I told him like, okay. Yeah, we're gonna leave at 11, be at the entrance.
Okay.
And I took some time though. I was about to be like, I'm gonna escape, yeah. He's lucky I actually met someone I knew and I was just chatting.
No, word.
But yeah. So, yeah. No. I didn't leave anyone. I just announced that, hey, people that are coming with me, the flight leaves at 10:30.
I remember hearing that.
I was
so,
I'm out of here. I need to go rest.
Yeah. But no, man. Yeah, that was Daisy's in the Cashew Show. So that was a great time.
I actually want to try out some smaller festivals now, man.
You think that Daisy's getting too big?
I think also, it's done, man. We've done it three times. Nothing's going to change. And also, man, I was hearing a lot of, "Yo, my tat last week, bro." And I was like, this is not my crowd anymore, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to be one of those ageist guys. Like, if Drake comes through, I'm there. Like, fuck, I don't care. I can afford it and I'll be there. But I just want to try maybe smaller festivals, you know, that are a bit more humble, you know, that I control more of what I bring, you know, my sauce.
Yeah,
maybe,
man.
Maybe even food, you know, maybe actually just enjoy, the camping and chilling a bit more.
I think they just did too much too quickly. That's all.
Yeah, man. But also, they finally opened it up to the majority market in this country. And that leads to certain things, you know? And that's just the nature of things, you know? And if it becomes more popular for more people, there's more things that need to be taken into consideration. And you kind of do have to start babysitting. I do kind of understand that. Because, I mean, last year there was 23,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, that got a bit dangerous. Like, if shit had gone down there, it would have been a wrap for the festival. So...
I think shit did go down at some place.
I mean, that guy not with the security staff who drowned.
Yeah, the guy passed away, dog.
Yeah.
It's
understandable, and obviously there's also a very young crowd. There was a ladies designated ladies camp section this year as well. So it just comes with the territory of opening up the market, because it was a preserve of sort of when it first started, like rock indie people. And,
yeah, very hippie vibe.
But as you expand,
but anyway,
these things happen. That's what happens when you introduce
the hip-hop. But yeah, man, they must just send us an email of give us a rating, you know, something, and then they can do what they want with that.
Yeah,
you know,
just have fun with it.
But yeah, but anyway, man,
let's move on.
Let's move on to. Do you want to talk about? Here's the thing. No, this is not political, actually.
Well, I've got another flaming topic.
Oh, okay. Chat.
The flaming topic.
Okay, we have a new No, that's not a flaming topic.
How is that not?
There's something more flaming than that, fam. That's political, actually.
That's political. Okay.
But the other flaming topic is the whole VBS bank scandal. The VBS bank heist.
Heist, bruh. $2 billion. What you saying?
So now, obviously, there was a report that was undertaken by an attorney or, sorry, an advocate or something. It was sanctioned to look into VBS Bank and the irregularities and
vendor building society,
all those things that are happening there, mutual bank. But this is it's a very complicated thing though, because there's many questions that arise from the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, let's look at it from the Reserve Bank side.
Mm-hmm.
So why did they sanction this inquiry or a report to be done for me, in your opinion?
Well, because first of all, the bank went under curatorship of the Reserve Bank.
Yeah.
Because there were irregularities in its financial statements.
Mm.
Right.
And
when a bank goes under curatorship, they have to do a forensic audit into the books of the bank.
But what I mean, okay, so I'm trying to say what led to them to believe that the books were irregular things, right? Was there certain monies that
were going missing? Well, there was a
whistleblower. Oh, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So chat about that.
There was a subset of investors who alerted the Reserve Bank, or who tried to alert, like the report highlights, they tried to alert a string of authorities that eventually led them to the Reserve Bank, which then eventually led to the Reserve Bank investigating and then having to take the bank under curatorship.
So basically, this bank was people were looting money, and the bank was suffering because they couldn't take care of their day-to-day bank issues that they had to pay for things.
Yeah, they deposited.
And then they started to approach municipalities for loans.
Yeah.
Right? And municipalities went ahead and gave them loans, and obviously they thought that they were also investing money. They thought they would get more money back in that sense. But then obviously I think it was the Reserve Bank who alerted the municipalities that in fact they are not allowed to bank with a mutual bank.
Yeah.
They can only bank with
the MFMA.
Yeah, they can only bank with banks that are registered as in terms of that MFMA that you're referring to.
Municipal Finance Management.
Yeah, which talks about there's a certain amount of banks that can be, that municipalities can.
There's a certain amount of outside lending that municipalities can do, and they have to get permission from the Treasury and the Reserve Bank.
Yeah.
Well, Treasury will then ask the Reserve Bank.
Yeah. So that was a problem within that. Then there was other things where there was just blatant looting.
Yeah.
Of the money.
Of the deposit, of people's deposits.
And the thing is, it's important to note that it's people's deposits, but the majority of the people that banked with this bank are poor people of the vendor nation, so to speak.
Yeah.
South Africans that are up there north in Limpopo.
Yeah. So, which is one of the poorer provinces.
And the thing is, the people, and there's also, so this report obviously names many humans that are in municipal office bearers.
Mm.
It names private persons. A big thing that's been in the media is the fact that Brian Shibambu, who is the brother of Floyd Shibambu, the deputy president of the EFF, was implicated in that. He was paid 16 million rand from the VBS.
Yeah.
For, to which the EFF said it was consulting advisory payments.
I lied to you.
If I won't lie to you. If you're a 24-year-old who's giving advice and you're getting paid 16 million, I won't lie, you're doing very well.
I'll tell you that.
And yeah, obviously, so obviously the media, you know, dug into, you know, the EFF and stuff because they are the ones who advocate for Corruption Watch. They are the Corruption Watchers. Yeah, clean, you know, governance. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was a nice meaty bone to sink their teeth into, and it came out that allegedly 10 million of that 16 million was quote unquote funneled to Floyd Shibambu, to which subsequently ENCA and DA, someone high in the DA, I can't remember this guy's name, but they've apologized for things that they've said, saying that he's been implicated, and but he hasn't. Like, the ENCA today was like, yeah, we're sorry. And I was like, yes, out like this. And then, allegedly, yeah, so that DA person had said that Julius Malema was 47% owner of some company or whatever, and then he was forced to retract. And I'm like, the EFF have some lit attorneys or something behind them, you know? And the thing is with the EFF, they always like to make fun of the DA for running to court, for running to lawyers and stuff. But then as soon as they also get touched.
As soon as they get touched on their studio.
It's the name of the game, I guess.
Look, for me, like...
But yeah, I think... sorry to cut you off, but I think, man... I just want to get your view on whether or not this bank should be saved, but also I think a lot of the people up there in Venda have been have really been hard done by, and they've been let down by the people, those who are entrusted, rather, let me say that, and they've been let down drastically.
Yeah, look, the thing is, the bank is going to need to be saved, and we're going to pay for it hard.
But they say they shouldn't, though, right? Wasn't the recommendation in the report
that
the bank cannot be saved? And thus...
Look, I need to read that report in detail, actually. But also, the thing is that, like, this is where the asset forfeiture unit comes into play, right? And this is where people must be held to account. So the people who stole must be held to account and their assets seized and sold in order to recover some of the cost. But the reality, the fact of the matter is like these people weren't doing what people usually do and loot and then move the money overseas. Maybe one or two of them, right? But I'm telling you, most of their money is child. I mean, obviously, then I don't know how credible this is, but like, you know, the social media posts with the Mercedes and all the places.
I haven't seen that. But I wouldn't like be surprised.
The issue is that a lot of the money has just been spent.
The thing is, it was just like blatantly done.
Yeah.
And if you in the report, there's just some damning things where I think, I don't know if it's a municipal manager or someone. Was like, yeah, I also want to make sure that I get a good Christmas. And because she was given 300,000 rand and she was like, no, she was crying that it's not enough. Like, these are text messages or something. And I'm just like, these people are actually, there's officials out there, you know, that are just like freely being corrupt. And the thing is, sure, you're corrupt. Say you get 300,000, but the audacity to ask for more, right, means that this is so much in your natural state, your day to day. This is a usual thing.
Yeah,
it's an easy thing. It comes easy that you even ask for more because this is what I've been doing.
Yeah,
type of thing, which is very scary, man.
Look, look, the world, it's not like we've never seen this before anywhere else. Like, this is up to Bernie Madoff, dog. Yeah. Like, straight up. But the thing is, and it's something my sister posted on social media. It's like, how do people who have
experienced oppression, who have experienced dispossession and outright theft of their land, of their dignity, of their economic rights. How do you then go and do the same thing to the people who've suffered with you and are still suffering because of their economic position? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, why must that be a thing? Like, yeah, corruption is a thing, but on this grand of a scale, 2 billion rand. How but many you know, projects
you know,
could that
fund? You know what it is, though, Vumi? It's because it's come to... But as we've said, like, corruption in our country has become something that has become a norm in its highest form, highest order, to its lowest order, in people wanting to just buy a cold drink for a traffic officer, right? And we have become so accustomed to this that though it just... Every time we hear about it, like, we're gonna go past this in a week or so.
Yeah.
And the thing is, so long as there's no accountability, there will be no change. None whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
None whatsoever.
And you know, that's the disappointing thing. It's like, is anyone going to go to jail for this? No one went to jail for the life is the main thing.
Not
is
one.
Someone gonna go to jail for this? And that's what needs to start happening. Like, enough with these resignations, what, and these commissions of what. People need to go to jail. People need to be held accountable.
Like, these commissions can continue to occur.
Yeah, no, but no, I know.
But as a result, like, we can't keep having commissions and then nothing happens as a result of the commission report.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
Like, what is the next step?
That's the thing. And, yeah, like, it just shows that it's... You know, and it's often the most vulnerable areas and the most poor areas that suffer from this kind of activity, and you know, the outright denial. You know, like, no one's gonna just produce a report for fun outlining the theft of 2 billion rand.
Damn.
Who's gonna sit and do an investigative thing like that for fun, right? No one.
That's a lot of money, man.
And like, and the thing is, and the shocking thing is that it possibly implicates throughout the political spectrum.
Yeah.
You know? And that's so, for me, that's also another disappointing thing. Is that if, I mean, the ANC, fair and fine, like, the ANC is the ANC, right? We know it's the ANC. But I really hope, for our democracy's sake, that the EFF is not implicated as well. Because the thing is, then what does that say about the caliber of our leadership in general?
But you know what I think, Vumi? I think it brings into question the whole system, political system that we have. And I think people need to start asking the questions of whether or not this is the system that's right for us.
But like, in what way what part of the political system do you think has failed us in this particular case?
The lack of accountability,
yeah,
in the top.
But is that the political system, or is that the
political system allows, yeah, for that?
But like, how do you? So this is a question I've been grappling with, even with that whole U.S. thing and the Kavanaugh. The Supreme Court. Like, the thing is, the judiciary can try and be independent as much as possible. Even here, chief justices. But, like, at the end of the day, they are appointed by presidents who are... Presidents are part of political parties and they have political ideologies. No one can be... Like, we're political beings. No one can claim to be absolutely objective, right?
Yeah.
And I've really been trying to think, like, how do you then try and create a justice system that is truly no fear or favor? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's something that is not achievable. That is, when you say truly no fear or favor.
So where do we...
You get aspects of it in certain individuals who maybe someone might think, you know, I'm making a good decision because they align with, you know, what I believe in, certain ideologies. Ideologies of a party.
Yeah.
Case in point, with Ubaba appointing the primary protector
sorry, former Pirate Protector Tuli Madonsela.
Yeah,
she, I mean, I'm pretty sure he didn't see that coming.
Yeah, you even like, Justice Mokhoeng.
Yeah.
No, because everyone was saying Mokhoeng is his boy, and then next thing you know, he was actually a legit. He still is.
But like, I feel as though, you know, there's no way of absolutely knowing someone can, you know, that you can enforce the whole no fear, no favor thing, because everyone has an agenda. But I think it really boils down to the individual once in that position, what they want to do with it, what they want to leave as a legacy, really. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know, man.
And that's the thing, like even now with, I'm sure we'll move on to this, but even now with the appointment of Tito Titus Mboweni.
Okay, let's just move into the
political. But what I'm saying is, like, so the reason people are not going to jail is because the whole political elite, the whole political, are all complicit in one way or another.
Exactly.
Right? So if you put someone in jail, you'll be like, but I know the shit you did, and I'll
That's why Ubaba was in parliament saying, look, what have I done?
And no,
are telling me that I've done something. Tell me what I've done. That's the thing, though. Because he knows that, hey man, all of you are saying I've done something. Now you want to remove me. Nah, dog.
You see,
but that's what also Batabile Dlamini was saying about the smaller skeletons. We don't want a situation where everyone's smaller than the skeletons are shown.
That woman. Anyway, but
because,
like,
she knows.
No, that's the thing. That's what I'm complicit. Saying. So it's like, so from this point onwards, like our political dispensation, how do we go, right? And this comes to the question where it's like, do we believe that that eventually, slowly but surely, a political people who are not linked to the looting that's happened in the last 9 years will start to be appointed to ministerial positions? Like, the first example we hope is Tito Mboweni. He was not in cabinet for those 9 years, but he was a member of the ANC. He is a member of the National Executive Council, right? So how complicit is he in the decisions that have been taken by the ANC? And the thing is, how many, and this also brings another political topic that I have for today, is like, where are the untainted ones? And who are the untainted ones that are rising up the ranks? That's the question.
Let's move on to the political so we can chat about it.
But now, can I speak my point, speaker? What is your point? My point is, we can't be addressed by the father of Mduduzane.
So you're asking very good questions, beloved. But I think what it will take is literally someone who is not, someone who is complicit, right? And say, you know what, guys, in order for this to actually work, we need to be honest about these things. We all need to be accountable. Someone who is complicit and come out and say, look, I'm complicit in this as well. And I think we need to have a clean slate, and just name and name everyone. And if he or she is complicit as well in whatever form, then they I think that's what it would take. Because until someone who is connected says something, someone who's also dirty, until they say something as well, because you know they must have some dirt. Because it's all good and well, these people who are clean, or you know, quote unquote clean. Yeah. Coming out and saying no and calling other people out. But I think it'll take a big thing if someone says, you know what, I have been dirty as well, and I think we need to do some sort of a reform.
But the thing is, you forget that that who wants to come out and say this? And it's an election year. Like, no one's gonna come out and say it. And if you come out and say it, people are paying for blood, fam. We've seen that the South African public's voice has made a lot of decisions, even though I'm very tentative to say that. But like, everyone's saying like, oh, there was no way Cyril could have kept on, because like people were calling for his head, public pressure, what. I'm like, yeah, public pressure.
I actually think public pressure was a huge thing.
I don't think so.
The commission, dude. Like, as the president, you can't ignore what's happening in the commission.
He could not ignore that.
And the thing is, and the fact that Nhlanhla Nene himself went and apologized subsequent to going to the commission, all this stuff.
But he apologized without the expectation of staying on.
I don't know. Well,
yeah, because the reason he asked to resign. He was like, I'm sorry, and I'm resigning.
Oh, was it the same? The same
yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, so in other words,
I'm
like...
I'm asking you to resign.
So the thing is, it would say... So the, even with, without the public pressure, it would say to Cyril, it would beg the question to Cyril, what are you saying to someone who's out here saying that they did lie, right?
Mm.
And they're asking to be punished for their sins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are saying, you know what? I forgive you. It's okay. Carry on with your job. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
What does that say about Cyril himself there? What does that say about him as a president?
Yeah.
In terms of
holding people accountable. No, you see, that's the thing, and that's where
without the public pressure,
No, no, I agree with you there. But the thing is, like, if someone comes out and says, yeah, I did this, right? And you, as you say, we all wipe the slate clean. No one's going to want to wipe the slate clean. The public's going to want heads to roll.
But that's part of the wiping the slate clean, though, right?
Yeah, but are their heads going to roll? Who's going to come out?
Their heads must roll.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. So it's like, how do we achieve this? Is it a thing where... Or maybe we're saying all this shit, come 2019, your boy Cyril is going to come in with a scythe and just... And clean shit up.
You know, just about that point, Vumi. I really don't see that happening. Because people are saying, yeah, I know. Right now, obviously, he's being very tentative because, you know, it's very factionalized. And he's keeping Zuma's people on still. You know, just wait until he gets the new mandate.
Uh-huh.
I don't see much change occurring like that that people are expecting. I just don't see it. I mean, I wouldn't be... I'm not going to say I don't want it to happen. But, like, I really don't see it happening like that, dog. Cyril is, like... It's not like... This guy was there for 9 years. He was there. Yeah. It's not like this guy flew in from an ANC that was not in South Africa at the time of Zuma's reign, dog.
Yeah.
He was there, man.
Yeah.
So, And it's beautiful that people might have this new hope in Cyril. And I really do hope he does wonderful things with the economy... And wonderful things, you know, with in terms of getting jobs, sustainable jobs, because that's especially for the youth, right?
Yeah,
because that's what's needed, boss. Yeah. We're out here getting degrees, and we're still getting told to sit at home because there's no job. So, I really want him to succeed in that front, dog.
Mm.
But there's nothing that's telling me, like, what is it that's telling you that, you know, this guy is actually our hope? Is it because he's not Zuma? Because if it's just that, I don't think that's enough.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
being someone is not enough for me. Mm.
No. I mean, look, and I don't... I'm not going to argue with you that a lot of people probably hold that view that it's just not... That's not him.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's a whole history to who Cyril is. There's a whole history of... Which stories you want to believe about him not being the president after Mandela or him what I've got some inside info
but there's a whole
history to it. So but for me the thing is that, like, because the elections are not only a thing about the people choosing the ANC or whichever other party, it's also about the ANC itself is getting a new mandate. So the election results aren't only about DA versus ANC. It's also about ANC faction versus ANC faction. So the thing is, if the people who back Cyril campaign right and do the right things in the constituencies that matter, right? Yeah. This is how theoretically people who are expecting him to come in and just clean house, this is how it's going to happen. It's going to happen with the branches, a faction in the ANC winning a majority of the branches.
Yeah.
And getting those key positions.
More, right?
So that's really what's going to be critical in the elections.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the battle that's really going on within the ANC. So if that happens, that's what's going to lead to him having the new mandate. If that doesn't happen, if the ANC is still as divided as it is now, after the elections, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? And the thing is, the people who are sick of the factionalism, are they going to leave? Are they going to go to the EFF? Are they going to go to the DA? Right? Where they? What's going to happen with the people who are tired of the factionalism?
In your view, do you think the factionalism will not become an issue when it comes to the elections next year?
That's the thing. It's like that's where the groundwork is being done. So you need to now see who are the ward councillors. What are the numbers? How many ward councillors does Cyril's faction
have? This is where Mbax will be actually working for his money.
Yeah, you see, so it's one of those things, and it's also a thing about how if the ANC as a whole now decides, actually, fuck this shit, right?
Yeah,
we fucked up. Some of us, we also fucked up, but we now want to fix it, right? It can go that way, or it can go, it's like, no, we maintain. We want to hold this view. Ubaba was our man. And then there'll be the other side who's going to be like, no, but like we need to hold the legacy of the ANC that from the Freedom Charter, and Cyril's our man. And if that continues, the ANC probably won't survive another election cycle.
Apart from this one, yeah.
Apart from this one, yeah. Because the thing, eventually it's going to become unsustainable.
Yeah.
And then there's the other looming thing of...
There's also these other parties that are starting to come up within the ANC as well. These sort of meetings that are happening about people starting new parties. Have you heard about
that? That's the thing. So that's the factionalism sort of showing its head. But also it's another thing about where the real mess... I think is going to be in the municipalities.
Yeah.
Because if the examples of the last few since the last municipal elections, provincial elections are anything to go by, right? That's going to be a mess, right?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, the way things have gone so far, I think there needs to be serious reform around municipal elections.
Yeah.
There needs to be some serious reform around the regulations, around how councils work. Because the way it's happening now, a party that has like 3%, like the EFF and PE, disrupts everything. Like they've got their reasons that they're doing that. But then at the end of the day, who does that affect? It affects service delivery and it affects people.
So do you think the Municipal Systems Act needs to be reformed?
So it probably needs to be reformed. But who's going to have the political will to even try and tackle that beast? Because that's the thing. Because the urban centers are what's going to drive South African politics from now on. It's not going to be the rural areas.
And that's why when there is like 3% or 4% of the vote and they become the sway vote.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it becomes very disruptive because
look at what's happening
by some Nelson miracle, Mandela Bay. Yeah, unless by some miracle next year the EFF's like actually like no, now we like find like we need to actually get shit done and we need to compromise here, but we need to push here and push there, right? So it's also a thing about political maturity of other parties that are coming into the thing, right? So
do you see that happening though? I don't really see that happening. This political maturity thing.
I don't know. I don't see that.
I think political parties are always going to strive for a way.
Self-interest.
Yeah.
Over anything. But then you see that's
the thing. They also want to grow.
That's the thing. And the question is how does a party interpret its own personal growth? Is it I'm controlling what happens in this municipality, or is it I'm providing services for my people? This is the example that I'm setting, and that is how I want to grow. Or do you want to grow by saying, this is how much disruption I can cause, this is how much I can show that the other people are not doing
it? But let me put it to you this way. What if the disruption I cause is what leads to me growing? So what you're not going to change your winning formula.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So it's the party has to decide how it's going to grow. What is it going to do? Is it going to grow just for the numbers? Just in here to be like, I've disrupted all these municipalities?
I think the answer to that is yes.
Why?
Because
eventually you can do that for one or two election cycles, right?
It means justify the
right?
ends.
You can do that for one or two election cycles. You can disrupt.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, that 3% vote that you got is also going to start asking itself, but hold up, what have you guys really done?
Yeah.
Because next year, or even the next municipal elections in Nelson Mandela Bay, if shit doesn't work out,
yeah, then like
people are going to ask, actually, what have you done?
2022.
No, election 2019 and then 2 years.
So 2021.
2021.
Yeah, but yeah.
So if the EFF doesn't actually, like, maybe, like, start saying, okay, these are the things, ANC, these are the things we want to do, let's do them.
But here's the thing, they're going to keep going off the fact that, say, hey, look, we haven't had an opportunity to prove ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not big enough to prove ourselves in this municipality. So we'll just continue to do what we're doing. So until they have full control, but the majority in a municipality or in a district municipality actually, if they have full, and then that would be their opportunity to actually show what they can do, because we've seen now the DA and stuff. I mean, people who live in DA run municipalities that were formerly ANC, like in the last elections, they'll be able to tell you if there's actually been a difference.
Yeah.
If they feel like, no, the DA is actually the better to run these metros. I don't know if that's the case, but from what I'm hearing, I don't think people are saying that, no, definitely the DA again.
Yeah, well, look, the thing is, what the ANC does to itself doesn't help that cause. So it's like people are going to be like, yeah, the DA is fucking up, but not like the ANC. Right. And then also people are going to look
more. Even if it's not the case of there's more accountability, but the appearance that there's more accountability goes a long way as well.
But also another big thing I think is going to be political decisions. People are just not going to vote though.
Nah, I don't know.
The youth is just not going to vote.
Nah, yeah, you know what?
Like, don't think about
even the last elections. Think about the person. There's a lot of people who were eligible
at home. Yeah.
In the last elections, there were a lot of people who were eligible, and they know who they are because I've had conversations with them. They were very eligible to vote in the last election.
And they didn't vote.
And then they wanna. And then 2 years down the line, they wanna start complaining about politics and this and this and all that. But when you had your opportunity,
you didn't vote.
What did you do?
Yeah. Now I'm talking about the unemployed youth, the disenfranchised youth, who just aren't going to vote.
Because they have they feel that there's no need for them to vote, because what's going to change?
Exactly.
Here's the thing, how do you galvanize those people to actually go out and vote? How do you convince them that there is an importance in actually voting, and it will translate into something tangible for them?
By translating shit, implementing shit. Because young people are not stupid.
Yeah, but this is after, because now.
I know. Yeah.
So prior to the election, is it just selling a dream? Whoever sells the best dream.
Because the thing is, even now, like with this VBS thing, even if the EFF didn't do it, if I was an unemployed youth saying, you guys are fucking doing the same thing.
Yeah. What's the difference?
You're gonna be like, you're doing the same thing. And then you're going to be like, fuck it. Why must I vote for you? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Someone can easily just say.
Online, but the youth with regards to the EFF, it's actually like it's burning, right? Because there's, in a good way for the EFF, because they are sweeping the SRCs.
Yeah, they are.
So if the EFF was smart, they will galvanize all the SRC leaders to actually engage the youth to vote. Yeah.
If they're smart. But the thing is, like, also those SRCs, are they gonna actually do shit?
We don't know.
Are they gonna help those students?
I don't know. Maybe we should speak to a student actually. See what's going on there.
What
have we done?
Hey, look, man. You're a professional planner. I'm a market researcher now. But look, interesting times. I've never had these conversations with Zim. Zim never had this chance. Zim was just outright ZANU PF till the day we die. So that's a win.
Look, for me, you never saw it in your future anytime soon that Uncle Bob would vacate, right? Regardless of the in way in which it happened, but it
you
never know, man.
But you also then realize how ingrained ZANU PF is in that. But anyway, let me not even start that story.
You don't want to go into that.
I don't want to go into that shit.
Let's not go into that. But but maybe just another thing you can speak about, because last week after Daisy's, this is
Rondy.
You can keep this in the political. It's all right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I saw His Excellency the President of the Republic
It's excellent.
CR 17. Yeah, so I went to the 8th annual Leia and Desmond Tutu Foundation Peace Lecture.
Who and Desmond?
Leia and Desmond Tutu.
How do you spell that?
L-E-A-H. So it was a yeah. So
it's not Leia.
Leia.
Okay. I'm asking. How? Don't fight.
So yeah. So this is the 8th annual peace lecture, by that foundation at the Artscape. Cyril Ramaphosa was the keynote speaker. It was sort of the topic was to. Was to reflect on the TRC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was 20 years of the TRC, what we've learned or whatever. But your boy was very clever about it. Like he framed it within like our night.
What happened?
So isn't you know Cyril's coming in hard? He's trying to tell Reds, look, the things must change. Yeah. You know, so every public speaking event he's had, if you notice, he gives him a chat. Heart. It's like, yeah, look, things need to change. Right. Yeah. So the funny thing is, your boy walks in. I don't lie. People stand up. It's like
ovation already.
Huh? Ovation.
No huh? ways, man.
Cyril. Thanks.
Like, he has an effect. Yeah, he has an effect.
Clap. Comes in, starts the usual. All protocol observed. Then, like, he's like, yeah, you know, like the issues in South African society stem from the racial oppression we've had from the dispossession of land. You know, he likes all that land. And then he's like, so we actually need to have sectors of our society understand that in order to address the difficulties we face currently, that we need to address the structural inequalities of our economy that come from the majority of the wealth being possessed by the minority of the population.
With the twang.
All the coons. There's a bank of reds sitting in front of us.
Silent.
Old ones as well. White hair and shit.
Yeah, they had to listen.
It was tough. Very quiet now. And obviously, my sister and I were out there just clapping hard and shit. So I like the way he talked about, like, you know, the land issue, and then he just framed it. So he was talking about how the TRC, you know, was a chance for us to heal spiritually,
yeah,
but now we need to heal economically, and these are the changes. It was a very well written speech. It was a bit short, because I think obviously your boy was now dealing with the Nene thing, because even he didn't wait for the thing to finish.
Oh yeah, escaped.
He just escaped. Obviously he had to go talk to Titus.
Hey, look, he had to make those deals.
he had to make those deals.
Even though Titus said, yeah, he's not returning. But hey, look,
when he calls. But he did. He tweeted on the 12th of September. He's like, there was a time when the three T's were TMs, in government.
TMs.
Oh, when the three TMs were in government. Yeah. And some of us saw a 4.6% GDP growth. That can be done again.
No, it was actually a six.
Six, yeah. Yeah. I don't know, those were lit years.
Two for each TM. So now what does he say? We're going to see 2%.
Unless he's going to see a flame.
Yeah, if you see 2%, I'll be like, yeah, sure.
He's going to see a hard flame now. But yeah, so it was a very interesting talk. And obviously the old man wasn't there. No, there wasn't a Q&A, unfortunately.
At the time, he was still in the hospital,
right? Yeah, he was still in the hospital. He was watching it live, apparently. Yeah, so it was a very interesting talk. I had never seen him talk live, so that was a nice touch there. And then there were some other speakers, some performances, some opera and shit. You know, things. Yeah. It was a nice. It was a good talk. It was a good talk.
Yeah. No, it's good, man. I'm glad you got some food, you know, mental food.
It was a good speech. I must find the transcript, give it to you. It was a good speech.
Nah, that's dope, dog.
But so Tito Mboweni is now the finance minister. The Rand is enjoying him as if like a side chick who's just come out in public. They're now enjoying themselves. The Rand is sitting at 14.23 to the dollar.
Hey, look, dog.
But Tito Mboweni.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Those are two tough jobs. President and finance minister. even public enterprises, etc.
Minerals as well, dog.
Yeah. This is in the chart, so everyone's not happy with it.
Is everyone happy with it?
But yeah,
alright, let's
phone
move.
Died now. I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, let's move. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move from politics. We chatted about it for.
All right.
Let's go and chat about some music.
News. Yeah.
Music make me lose control. Music make me lose control. Oh no, that track is lit. In fact, you must play that just a little bit, just a taste,
just a taste. Taste.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So going on to music, I don't know if you. Well, I mean, what music have you been listening to these past couple of days?
Mishmash.
But an album that came out was an album by Quavo, the lead singer of Migos. I won't lie to you, beloved. There's nothing there, man. You know what it's like? It's like it's like, you know, when you know those guys, mindless behavior.
Yeah,
that band. Those guys are only good as a band, man. They're not good individually.
And solo, even solo, even the internet.
Nah, dog. Like, nah.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, but have you listened to his last album?
The latest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But why haven't you chatted about it?
Because it's not like boom.
But that's the thing. That Sid will never become that big because people don't put her out there like that. Yeah. Her stuff might be lit.
True.
But like, people aren't putting her out like that.
Yeah.
Because maybe she's not appealing in a certain way.
But yes, tell us about Quavo.
Yeah, man. That I can't remember what the name of the album was, but it was just. I was very much like, all right. I wasted time listening to it. That thing was garbage, bro. And you know what? Migos should just stick to being the Migos.
Yeah.
They shouldn't. Quavo was garbage.
Yeah, shame.
Like, but the thing is, who went and said Quavo must put out a solo album? Were people asking for that?
Yeah, look, man, these people ride the delusional wave of fame and end up doing silly things.
But like, I don't think people like. You know when people like with normal, these other boy bands and stuff, like with B2K and stuff, everyone could see that Omarion was the top guy, right? And we were like, actually, this guy might give us something.
Gave us very little.
Nah, I think he
got an ice box with my heart.
How used that
to be? Oh, yeah, actually, that
ice box is huge. And he gave us
precious memories.
And he gave us
this is crazy.
Used to be, dog.
Yeah.
Used to be.
Yeah.
You gotta eat the booty like groceries.
Oh yeah,
the only Chris Brown.
Yeah. But that was his return.
That was a lit return though.
Yeah, it was a lit return.
I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
It was a lit return.
Yeah,
hey, Fiend even did an album with Anati, I think.
Hey,
remember?
Oh yes, he was down here busy living his African life.
Yeah, well,
with a touch of America. That's why African Americans love it. They're like, oh, it's like home, but
yeah, man, damn them. yeah. Anyway, but like, yeah, man. I think sometimes you should just stick to the winning formula.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Look, if you want to be an artist and you want to break out and do your own thing, sure.
It's up to you.
It's up to you.
Live your life.
But I wasn't here for that. I'm not even gonna lie. I wasn't here for that. So I will not be listening to that again. I'll tell you that right
like
now.
What was he trying to sing? Or R&B? Rap?
It was just garbage, man. It was just like Amigos, but
without
one man. And yeah, I just didn't enjoy it, man. But anyway, I don't know if you saw that. You know that LeBron James has this HBO special that he has. I can't remember what it's called. It's called The Shop or something. And he had Drake on. And Drake was addressing the whole Kanye situation.
Oh, I saw Rap Genius quote something.
Yeah.
Did he say like I knew some shit was gonna come up about my kid? But when you start targeting people who are sick.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, Rap Genius.
So basically he was sitting down with LeBron James and some other fiend and talking about that whole situation about him going to Wyoming. Niggas should never go to Wyoming, bruh. So Kanye. Anyway, but going to Wyoming. Don't even know where that is. Anyway, going there and and he found out he was working on his album, writing stuff for him. And then, yeah, man, then all of a sudden, he's producing, he puts out. So, in other words, Drake shared a lot of stuff with him while he was there. You know, Drake, feelings.
Chats.
Because he obviously thought that he could trust Kanye or whatever. And, yeah, he brought all that shit out. And, yeah, he felt like he got betrayed. Drake showed him pictures of his baby. Told him that he's having he's having problems with his son's mother, and that's what Drake said. I was waiting for him to say, yeah, I told him I was having trouble with my baby mama.
But
he's like, no, he's like, I was having trouble with my son's mother.
I was like, that's so Drake.
But yeah, and then he's like, yeah, and then they just used it against him, and he felt like, yo. And you, but look, dog, you must just go look for that.
No,
that
I need clip. To. I need to get in touch with my boy's celebrity side again. I've disengaged from his like interview things. I just listen to.
Because he doesn't do interviews though, actually.
Yeah, he doesn't do a lot.
He doesn't do interviews. Yeah. Unless he can control the narrative.
Yeah.
I feel like obviously.
Yeah.
I know. You don't want to get
taken like controversy. Guard. This guy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean. Yeah, that was just a highlight, man. Dog, LeBron is breaking out, dog. He's not just a dribbler.
Speaking of breaking out, did you see Kanye is in Uganda?
You know what I did?
The president of Uganda.
I saw he's in Uganda, but prior to being in Uganda, he was just doing some nyols in America before he leaves.
Oh my goodness! Ah.
Yeah, I don't want to go into that because there's actually a lot to unpack. But basically, he went and met with Donald Trump there in the Oval Office, and they made a spectacle of it.
Oh my goodness, it was ridiculous.
Yo, Kanye was rambling.
Kanye,
he talked about probably like about 70 issues in like a 20
and
minute
you know,
thing.
You know what pisses me off?
And
about?
You know what it reminded me of actually, of Daisy, because the way Shane, man, he is mentally ill. But the thing is, I really do believe you.
Yeah.
Mentally ill. But like he was talking like someone who was on Molly, dog. Their conversation just jumps from this to this to this to this, like with no cohesion sometimes. Not only sometimes, most of the time. And I was just like, wow. And all like Donald Trump was just taking it all in simply because this guy says, this guy loves me. Puts the MAGA hat on. But yeah,
nah.
Yeah, I saw he was in Uganda.
Gave the president
out there dancing.
Uganda white sneakers.
Yeah. Why didn't he give him any of his stuff?
Because I saw it for some reason. Someone was sharing the Ugandan president's Facebook page.
Yeah.
And then it's like, we have welcomed American entertainment artist Kanye West, who handed our president some white shoes. We are very grateful to Kanye West. It was some white shoes. Like, those are Yeezys, bro.
I don't lie, but I wonder what he's obviously working on music or
something. Yeah, the tourism. He was like, they're here to promote the Uganda's tourism. Whatnot.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so he's working on something.
Alright. Yeah, man, I wonder, Vumi. You know, after he dropped that other album?
Uh-huh.
Anything that Kanye drops, I'm not really checking for him.
Kanye needs to check in somewhere before we can check him out.
Yeah, you're right actually, and I think Kim Kardashian probably just needs to release him. You know?
No. Cannot take that.
Tell me, you don't think she's gonna do it too?
She'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, he might
snap. If they're gonna do it, they've already thought about it.
He might snap.
Yeah.
He literally might go off the edge.
Dog, he might write the most amazing album you've ever.
808s and Heartbreaks Volume 2.
Dog. But I don't know, man.
But yeah. I hated that album.
I didn't actually. I enjoyed it.
You know why? Because all my boys were going through like hectic, like, you know, like high school sweetheart problems and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
I was just wilding. I was living my life.
So you didn't relate to it?
I didn't relate to it at all.
Yeah. I just enjoyed that, dog. That album was nice. Like, the auto tune. I'm like, I missed it. Like, I'm loving you.
Let's have the pizza, all right?
I was like, that was lit. That was lit, dog. That was lit, man.
Give my love like that. And then the screaming people in the back. Actually, that album was a lot.
It was, dog. But most of the albums were a lot. But there were a lot of goodness as well, dog.
And Yeah, man.
Really did lose Kanye.
We lost Kanye.
But yeah, anyway, man. Do you want to add some stuff? You wanted to talk about
some extras.
Yeah, let's add some extras, dog.
The extra I have today, shout out who deals with the matric department of basic education. Shout out to the Department of Basic Education that this year's matric is going to be the first one where deaf students
are you laughing at that?
Because I had said blind off air. Because deaf students can
oh dude, carry on, man. So deaf students can now take the exam.
No disrespect. Yeah. So deaf students language. Can now take their matric exams in sign language and have them marked and moderated, which is amazing.
It's a lot of manpower, I'll tell you that.
But I don't care.
I
think they're piloting, or they're gonna start with like a small number of students. I think about 700,000 students.
Hang on, why are deaf students taking the exam in sign? Why don't they just write it?
If they've got a severe disability, dog, like maybe they don't. But actually, wait, let me think. I had the link to the article. Because
I just thought about it now.
No, wait. Why would it? I assume if they have a severe and they can't write.
But not.
Let me look.
I think you should look it up.
Let me look for the article, what it says.
Because you get what I'm saying, though, right? Because I haven't actually just thought about it now. I'm like, hang on. You know?
Let's see if
they offer. Are you sure it's not that they're offering sign language?
Yeah, wait. There we go.
What does this article say?
Okay, so the 2018 matric exams are expected to be groundbreaking for deaf learners who will be able to use sign language for the first time.
So it's just another means.
In a significant move for deaf pupils, the National Education Department will administer an exam in sign language to 58 deaf pupils from 10 schools. Pupils' question papers will be signed to them and they will answer in sign language. The process is expected to be recorded. In another first, pupils were also expected to write both technical mathematics and technical science in sync with the department's intention to provide a broader scope of subject offerings.
Okay, but I think now you're going into other things. But I just want to know what the important. They must have some sort of severe disability, not like apart from just being deaf as well.
The question papers have been adapted for blind and deaf candidates. Brailing of question papers for the blind and enlargements of font sizes for the partially sighted have also been completed. Printing and packaging of question papers by the provincial education departments is at an advanced stage. And that's because they have audited each of these points to comply. What?
Yeah, I think my question isn't answered.
So maybe for the ones who have a very severe disability and can't actually write, so if they can sign.
Yeah, that's a bit. But
maybe it's not easy for deaf people to write. Maybe because they haven't been able to learn vocally from their teacher. Dude, there's actually that's.
No. But I'm just saying, like, but you at the
not
level.
That's a safe assumption to make.
Questions. I'm not making assumptions. I'm saying, like, this is a matric. This is at matric now, matric level, beloved. So I just want to know that. What has been happening? I just need to know more.
Yeah.
Because I don't. It sounds nice. But I mean, look. Shout out to them for these developments.
Yeah. This is where I want my tax money to go. Actually.
This is where it should be going.
This is where it should be going. This is where I'd gladly pay.
Dude, don't do that. But like, I that's one thing I don't miss, dog. Writing exams. Like, that stuff sucks, bro.
Can you sign me up and do an MBA, PhD? You done?
I'm not. If you're doing a PhD, you're not necessarily writing an exam.
Long 7-year exam.
But rather that, though, than like when you have to be forced in 3 to 5 hours where you have to put all the
information. Nah, come on.
Come on.
Been typing all your essays.
Come on, bro. Come on. That whole system.
Exams in varsity were tough because you're typing all your essays. Now you have to handwrite what you used to type out.
Do you know how many cramps you get, dog?
Varsity was bad. Because in high school, I handwrote everything. We didn't do like laptops or whatever. I handwrote everything in high school. But when I came to varsity, like the first few months, laptop. Now you're supposed to write an exam with your hand.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Unless if it's like, you know, those mathematical things, then it's easier. Yeah, like you have to do. You know, that's like writing history. Like those dudes that did history in high school, even I was like, yes, they're running out of exam pads and stuff. What?
Flames, bro.
No ways,
man. I remember English literature, dog. Like sheets, ask for extra sheets. Extra
that stuff was crazy, though. That stuff was crazy.
Ooh, high school, man. And then you look, you've only got 3 sheets, and someone else got like 6.
And then you're like,
you try to see their handwriting.
Like, what is this guy saying?
He's got bigger handwriting. Nah, it's fine.
I'm he's spacing it. You know, there used to be people who wrote like 5 words in a line, dog. I mean, I was like, yo,
no,
like,
guys, no.
Five words in a line. I was like, no, man. That's
this
much.
Is why I hope examiners, markers get paid a fortune, bro. They have to deal with such nonsense. No way.
That marking job is actually quite lucrative for people who want to mark. Yeah.
I think I applied once.
Yeah, my lady actually went and applied for like this year to do some marking. Because you actually get like good rack. It's a lot of work though. Like, it's not nice, but it's a short period.
I think probably
of time.
The first year of masters I applied for at the Western Cape.
And
government.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't get it.
Oh, they didn't get it.
Cool. You would have known this.
But like, I think, yeah, it's, yeah, man, you get like a good amount. You get like 10 to 12 grand or something. Now it's your resume. but dude, it's time consuming, like during the day and stuff as well.
Oh, is it during the day?
Yeah. If you have a job, you're definitely not gonna be able to do that. Dude, God. It's definitely for teachers and students. Yeah, man. But anyway, I don't know if you watched it, just as an aside thing. Don't know if you watched Conor and Khabib fight.
No, I don't watch.
You don't watch UFC?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. But I heard about this one, is quite big. I saw the highlights.
So you're a victim of
But that. You know Conor McGregor, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Guy with the pepper of peppers. Who
the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, I don't lie, but he got who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. In the Irish act. Yeah, but anyway, like he got clapped. He got clapped.
Again.
Yeah, he tapped out. He tapped out.
I actually feel sorry for that guy.
I don't.
Like, he's just
Dog, why
someone told because someone somewhere keeps telling him that he's the shit, and he keeps thinking he's the shit.
You don't think that he just feels like he's the shit, dog?
Yeah, okay, maybe that, but also like, surely that pity, bruh. He thinks he's the shit, but he actually sucks.
Guy, imagine knocking so many people out. Of course, you're gonna think you're the shit as well.
Oh yes, he does. But he's been just catching L's, high profile L's
recently, yeah. It just showed this, and he was very pepper, bruh. Yo.
But look,
now
man,
he wants a
we
rematch.
All know, like he does pepe, the media get the numbers, and then like that's what he gets paid for, like simple as that. But on that note,
maybe we should get the hell out of here.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yes. It has been your boy Zed.
And your boy Vumi.
And this has been the Much Chats podcast. Thanks for listening. I think
Cheers.
I cocked that up. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
Cheers. Thanks.